Have you ever wondered how sound can heal, inspire, and transform your life? What if the vibrations around you could unlock your true potential and guide you to a deeper sense of harmony? Welcome to Sound Pathways, the groundbreaking journey into the healing power of sound, creativity, and connection with your host, Dr. Karen Olson. In each episode, she explores the profound link between your mind, body, and spirit. From composers and musicians to sound healers and visionary leaders, she'll dive into captivating conversations that reveal how sound shapes your reality, heals our wounds, and helps us manifest our dreams. And guess what? You're part of the conversation. So call in and ask questions and experience personalized sound healing live. And let your sound be your guide to the life you've always dreamed of.
Hello and welcome to Sound Pathways. I am so excited. I'm so excited about this show today and so excited that you're here too. We're going to be talking about the art of sacred living, creating a sanctuary through spirit, creativity, and healing. It's amazing that we have Kate Temescan with us today. She is so special. I'm so grateful that I can share, we can all share with her and learn. She's a visionary healer, a frequency therapist, a spiritual teacher, a minister, a multidimensional artist of Navajo, Apache, ooh, excuse me, Middle East, Egyptian, West African, and Asian descent. Everything that she offers and does is guided by spirit and is created as a living prayer. Her life is a fusion of healing, creativity, nature, and soul alignment. It's woven like one sacred thread. There's just so many things that I want to tell you about her. And I don't even, about all of her sacred spaces and places, and I could go on and on. But let's just start in, because she will... Kate, thank you. You will be able to explain so much better all that you do and all about your beautiful Beyond Energy Health and Wellness Center. That's 100 acres of a sanctuary and for ceremonies and a haven for horse rescues and equine therapy and oh, so much. And your medicine store. I could just, the whole show could be my explaining, but I think it's better if you do. So sure. Welcome. Oh, and you also have a global audience of 125K Instagram followers, and we all need to be one of them. I know the posts are so fun and inspirational and so unique. So please help me give a warm welcome, and I know you're going to be so inspired. And thank you. Many blessings.
Thank you. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great.
Hope you can hear me. Having a little bit difficulty, but can you hear?
Yeah, it's just a little low, but I'm sure we can hear what you're sharing. So you live as a vessel for the spirit-guided creation. And, oops, I'm wondering, did we lose you? Well, we're going to learn about ways that Kate integrates all that she does. She creates these worlds where she can be guided by her ancestors and the spirit, because she has this ability to listen and to share and to be very empathic. She can feel what other people feel, and she can know how to change that. So let me just find out where she is, and then we will get to continue on learning more. Okay. Yes, so like I was mentioning, her sanctuary, her health and wellness center and temple, and it's just so many things. is outside of Lambertville, New Jersey. She has this beautiful connection. It's a sanctuary for animals and the beautiful horses that she rescues. Many of them have been racehorses. And that's a big story in itself. If you can imagine being a horse bred to just hear that gun and you just shoot out as fast as you can, and then you're just kind of rejected at a young age. That's a whole different life, and how, when we're in their presence, how they communicate in this very spiritual, powerful way. I've been fortunate to have a few horse therapy sessions, and I've also worked with horses with my sound healing. It's a very beautiful world. And here she is. So there's so many places we could start with, but wherever you'd like to start. But I know that you'll touch on guiding us about how to meditate in our lives, so that our lives can be meditating in a way that we can listen and hear and know how to breathe and connect and have more guidance for our choices and be clear and be parts of our community even more. So where would you like to start in sharing your amazing abilities?
Well, hopefully you can hear me. I'm having a little bit of a difficulty. It may make sense just to use the phone itself without the earphones, but if not...
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, we hear you. We hear you just good. Fine.
Perfect. So I can kind of explain a little bit more about, you know, as you mentioned, who I am, what I do on this underground. There's multiple services. I specialize in meditation and connection and breathing, and how important that is to really have a good sense of understanding of kind of slowing things down, getting that moment to focus and put everything together and breathe. But sometimes we forget the simple things, and to really have that moment to open the pathways to your pineal glands and your third eye and your crown chakra, which can be difficult for a lot of people because we're still trying to understand the simplicity of something that seems so difficult. So if you have any questions specific, I can go into detail. But, you know, the main thing is really trying to take everything more in a simple standpoint. I think we get too overwhelmed by everything that's being said out there, and how things can be a little bit simpler for everyone to kind of connect. So what's nice about the center and what I do is you have full freedom to connect in multiple ways. In all the different cultures that I teach and the religions that I intertwine, because everything is fully connected in multi-levels. So we have moments of connecting in a deeper way. So I'm not sure which way you want me to go, but I could go into services.
Yeah, it's so many things, but perhaps you could share about your deep connection to your land and the nature and your ancestors and guides, and how you hear those messages, like when you're building your different beautiful buildings there and centers and sanctuaries and the art and just all the gatherings, and how you're guided. I was so grateful for the gift of meeting you. So I can share firsthand about your authenticity, and you're just so exceptional, and witnessing as you hear the messages and how you were able to use those messages to know exactly how to build everything you do, because you have that close connection. And that would be such a beautiful introduction for us to learn how to listen a little bit more. Like, there's this veil, and sure, these voices, but we just don't know quite how to hear our guides or our angels, and they want so much to help us. So how just more to trust in that. For instance, how you knew where to put the buildings and what is the history on your land?
Right. Well, that's a packed question, but it's beautiful because the reality is, I think the way things are presented, you know, there's multiple ways. Everybody has a gift or a connection, and it comes in different ways for all of us. We're all different. So of course it's going to come to us in different pathways, but it does generally come in the same manner, meaning the way I connect with spirit is because I'm so intertwined with nature, and there's this equal balance of taking care of the land and respecting what is around me, taking care of the animals, the horses, everything that's here, and always really being very mindful and conscious of everything allows a spiritual respect without even really touching into anything yet, which not everybody has that opportunity, but it's still the idea of respect and listening. So even though that sounds pretty simplistic, or, you know, most people usually do, but it's really listening, and it's really paying attention to things that you may think are just a coincidence, or, you know, it's just a reminder and you're just kind of thinking about things. But the way spirit really does connect and ancestors connect truly is telepathically, meaning we think it's a thought, but the reality is if it's a thought that comes through your mind that clearly you have no clue about, now that could be viewed in multiple ways, but you know, you kind of do know if you get information or a thought that really is, that's interesting. Let me think about that. What does that mean? Who is that? And then if you open your mind to connect with those, you know, communication, then that allows more to come. Because the more you question, the more you put your guard, the more things don't flow freely. So it's a difficult thing because it's all about being very secure in what comes your way. And that can be difficult for people because it's strange. We're so used to the human side of communication where we get direct information. We bring it, we acknowledge it, we compartmentalize. But when it's brought to us in such a, almost like a mystical sense, we kind of never mind it, but it's important to pay attention. So basically how I connect through spirit is if I'm with a client or if I'm on the land, I just get a rush of immediate things that I feel I need to build, create. It could be art. It could be a statue. It could be, you know, creating a whole different center space. And I just go with it. I don't even think twice. I allow, you know, all that who is coming through and go with it. And that would be kind of hard to explain unless, I visually kind of showed it. But the simplest way I can describe it is, if I'm on my land and I get a message, I listen, even if it doesn't make any sense, even if I'm not quite sure. I take the years that I've been here and I put all the little pieces together, which then will tell me, oh, I get it now. So the land myself, I've been here for 27 years. The name of my land is actually Ne'itsu. That's a spiritual name, which means wolf. The reason it came up is because when I first stepped on the land and started creating, I saw a, generation of local Lenape natives that would have been in this area. And the first vision I saw was a gentleman, a shaman, with a white wolf headdress and his generation. So it would be, he was the great grandfather, his son, and then his son. And that's how they came to me, which is very spiritual. So that's how I started on connecting through my native roots on this land. And the journey, I just allowed it to flow. It then grew. The more I trusted, the more I believed, the more would happen. And the more I would be creative, and the more I would just continue to evolve. And it all comes down to really trusting in things that you have no way of, at that moment, controlling or researching or whatever makes people feel secure on what information is coming. And that's kind of key to feeling comfortable in that space. And it's beautiful because it's completely organic and it's your physical growth and building and then expanding with spirit. And then, you know, I have relationships with the natives here, the Africans that are here, and then we have soldiers that are here. There's multiple levels because I do have a graveyard from 1695 for the original farm owners, which is a whole nother story, which brings in the unfortunate side of connecting with the Africans and they're here, which then I found out later in life about my West African roots. And that was profoundly beautiful because then I truly connected on that side, spiritually. And it just kind of spun into this beautiful web of beauty and how it all was truly connected in this beautiful intertwining of everything. I was honored to have gifts since I was a child, and I have children and they also have gifts. So we have evolved together. So I don't know if that has sort of answered or kind of spun into the question.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. I was thinking as you're talking that so many of us now are used to Google and AI, and we can research and the knowledge can be proven and it's all accumulated for us already. And this voice, it's often very quiet, almost like a whisper. And if your mind is very chaotic and you're doubting a little bit and you're just, you could just not, it'd be easy to not, to only slightly hear the voice and then it gets drowned out. Would you feel that's true?
Oh, that's absolutely true. That is a lot of the issue because, you know, a lot of people who teach or communicate this, you know, there's so many hands in the pot, so to speak, meaning, how do we know who's helping us to connect? You know, it's kind of like there's no rule book, literal. And so it's who do I trust to be able to connect those pieces? It literally is like you are a, detective and you have to pay attention to everything around you. Keep it in your mind, hold it. And then when another piece comes and another piece comes, you almost learn how to put it together. And then once you train your mind to remember all of these things that seem like there's no way that was something I knew, because you would know your ability of understanding certain things. So you put it so you don't forget. And then when something else happens, you circle back and say, oh, I remember when I was walking, consistently feathers keep falling in my way. So you have to remember and you have to pick them up. It's being mindful. The more you pay attention, the more you're going to get more messages, because it's not like a test. It's more or less, have you opened your mind to be free? So, for instance, that's what I call bird medicine. So if you continue to see that, that may be at some point on the direction of that a certain birds could be your totem animal. So now you pay attention when those feathers or something could be falling in your direction outside. When is that happening? Is it when there's trauma in your life? Is it when, you know, these are messages. Spirit is always guiding you and helping you through your journey all the time. You know, so it's our duty, because we live on two different realms, to pay attention to when the message comes. Could it be when someone has passed? Could it be when you're under a lot of stress? They're here to guide and love you. So those are the times that, you know, a lot that they are communicating. And also, once you learn the patterns and paths of when things are happening, then you get this credible gift of them teaching you things and them helping you. And that's when some people become intuitive, some people become psychic. So when people come into their space, spirit's like, I have to intervene. There's something going on with this person. I can tell that you are open and we have been communicating. So now I'm going to speak through you, and we need to help this person. And that's when things start to unwind and go towards that communication space. But it always comes in such a way where we could take that time and say, I'm not quite sure. But that is where the lesson is. It's clearly a message if you really kind of stopped and thought about it. But the lesson is for you to feel comfortable and strong enough as your spiritual person to be confident in the messages, then consume it, feel strong enough, then to tell someone. Because it takes courage, because you will or think someone will think maybe weird or this is strange. So it's all about, if you show enough courage, they're going to be there and they're going to teach you. Because yes, it could be perceived in such a many different ways. But the point is that they're taking that effort, which is not easy. They need all the elements to communicate. It's not easy. They have to be in the correct realm that's right near you. So it does take a lot for them. So they're showing you love, which goes to your heart. So if you see people who have gifts and they cry, it is not necessarily because they're sad. They're crying because, spirit is speaking. And when spirit speaks, it's from the heart. Now, as Einstein said, energy doesn't dissipate. So energy is always there. How do we capture that energy? You know, we're so used to thinking we need to capture things, but the reality is it has to do with your freedom and your heart. And to be free enough to listen and allow your hearts to sing together and to do the dance. And that's where it begins.
Oh, thank you. Such a voice of wisdom and opening up paths for people, I believe. I think without being able to know someone like you, it could bring up fear and confusion. And, you know, like, I don't know. I wasn't really taught this way. It doesn't really fit in to my religion exactly, or whatever the boxes could be. And so to just break it down, because there's really nothing to be afraid of except the freedom that we can. You could be afraid of the freedom you would be missing.
Right. Yeah.
So that is so beautiful. And another example that I would love to hear more about is how animals teach us so much about truth and presence and love and that wise wisdom of experience and knowing. So I just love the beautiful haven that you create for the rescue horses. Oh, it's just as the best it could be. And they're so beautiful. And
blessed in them that they can help heal people. And I'd love to learn anything more about that.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, well, it's interesting because every horse I've ever had here was a rescue horse. I rescued them because they were mistreated from the beginning, and then literally got into really rescuing them through my practice. And it was difficult for me my entire life to see people, animals, anyone in pain or have no voice. So it was my life's mission to make sure that I could do so. And then being in this atmosphere and being with horses my entire life, to see so many horses that need rescuing, just like people, it's not only just the physicality that happens with them, it's their mind. So I took rescue horses in, gave them that freedom and space to feel as we should, anyone, you know, animals and people. And the irony here is that in that respect that we have for each other and them knowing you're in safe space, they open up. So it's almost like, you know, when we think of rescue horses, a lot of rescue horses are trained, and I did have two that were like that. Luckily, I was able to rescue them. But most of them, they were also the ones who needed healing, which then created even a deeper understanding. They were the ones who needed to be guided to feel comfortable. So we were both on this journey of communicating through trauma and pain. So when that occurred, there was a deeper understanding in how they really truly can read people even more because they were once the victim as well. So that brings like another level of respect and conscious understanding when they feel that vibration of people who have tremendous PTSD, anxiety, stress, autism, you know, that permeates off us. And we actually have a smell when we have this. You know, kind of like pheromones and things like that, similar. And so they really understand that. I giggle sometimes because when I have people who are on a different path and maybe they don't have as much anxiety, the horses are a little rougher with them. They kind of nuzzle them a little harder, and it's kind of cute. They're like, ah, you don't need me. You're fine. You go. You know, it's almost funny. And then when people come in who clearly are on a journey, they really want to communicate without their mouth. You know, sometimes that's not going to work. We're at a point where communication through the audio doesn't work. It's more about emotion. Horses will know that. They'll lower their anxiety, their breathing pattern actually goes really slower and deeper. They become much slower in the communication. They're quite fabulous because they work on energy, and they immediately can tell when our energies are different when we're under stress. I mean, anyone can understand when you're angry, you know, you have that kind of and when you're sad, everybody can feel that even in a room, whether they know you're angry or happy or not. Horses immediately first can smell it, and then they approach how you're feeling and pick it away. And then that's when the relationship starts happening, and they'll muzzle you, and then people start to warm up because, you know, the horse is so large, it can be frightening. But that's where the kind of the beauty is, because when you think about someone to heal you or connect with you, you don't think about this huge, giant 1800 pound animal, you know, that is going to be like a soft little teddy bear and want as much love as you're looking for. It's such a beautiful organic connection, which is quite beautiful, because that's the beauty of it, is how natural it is without creating too much. Because sometimes it could create more anxiety when you push too quickly.
Wow, that is so beautiful and so much truth. Do you find that people are able to build a relationship and have several sessions with the same horse, or do they learn from different horses, or how does that work?
Well, it depends. Sometimes a lot of people come to figure out what is going to work for them. So they kind of try the horses and see how that works. And some people will come back. And then some people want to try another pathway. And then they'll go back to the horse. So they circle back. But what's nice about it is they can have that opportunity where, you know, if they want to really have that trust with the horse, they can keep going and going in that communication. Or they can come into the different things that I do, because now they really want to touch on more of their personal connection and dealing with the anxiety and stress themselves. But then they might circle back and then learn more about other programming that I have with the horse, which then enlightens them. Because, you know, a lot of people want change. Like, I do traditional Native American symbols on horses, where you would see the war paint on horses. I do a lot of different services on that. And the different symbols and what they mean actually are very spiritual. But also, some people really focus on those because it's more of a visual reference when they're going through life. And there's different symbols that are, you know, like the handprints, and there's a circle around the eye for some horses. That's actually meaning that when a horse has that circle around their eye, that means that they have the ability to go through the realms to get away from whoever is coming after them, like traditionally, like if they were going to war, you know. So a lot of people resonate with that. So they visualize that on their own. Oh, I remember when I took that, you know, that class, that they think about that war paint so they can channel to kind of escape when they feel certain things. So it's interesting how people have different ways of what works for them. And what's nice about it is they can kind of go back and forth, and they have that opportunity, which is nice because it doesn't become stagnant, and it allows the brain to work in so many different ways.
So. Wow, that is really powerful. So not everybody might have access to equine therapy, and hopefully they could come to your center, but maybe they're somewhere else in the world. How do you feel it could apply to their dog or their cat, or just sitting around and seeing the squirrels coming by, or any of the deers running through? How could you help people connect even more to the animals that are around them?
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, I do have lots of little bird sanctuaries, so I get to see different birds come in, but you could simply, if you can, you know, put up a couple bird feeders, and you could see which birds come to you frequently. Different birds have different spiritual meanings. Or if you're hiking or walking, if you see a hawk, that's another totem animal, which is very powerful. A hawk is a hunter and a protector. So he may be someone that could be a totem animal, which would be, if you see it visually enough, it means you're connected to a hunter and a protector, which is good, especially depending on what your journey is. If you luckily have beautiful places along the river where you could see the eagle, that's a very spiritual animal. And so you can kind of focus on these, you know, traditional Native American spiritual and totem animals. But if they happen to be, you know, consistently, possibly in your foresight a lot, like you see them frequently, that's powerful. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And sometimes you may see actual, and sometimes you may see spirit animals, literally. And it's just really having that moment to pay attention and to bring them in. I mean, if you have exorbitantly high frequency and vibration, you'll notice that birds are always around, or you'll notice that cats, you know, will be around you, or dogs will look at you. Because you have such a high vibration, you attract these things, or children. If you've ever gone to dinner and a little kid turns around and constantly stares at you, of course that's what children do, but it's because you have such a high vibration, and because they're younger and they just came to this world. So they're kind of used to, or they're still connected to spirit world because they're so young. So it's kind of cute when I'm out and I see people and I see kids do that. I'm like, high vibration over there. You know, it could have obviously be something, you know, because they're cute, but lots of times it is just a communication. And it's just another sign that your vibration naturally is high, which is beautiful.
That is beautiful. Could you share just a little bit about what a totem animal is, and the, how many totem animals might a person have? And what do you think about looking it up? Like, what is the meaning of seeing a hawk? And then these things come up on Google, and they seem really beautiful, like it's full of lessons.
Well, it's true. I mean, I believe everyone has a totem animal. And it doesn't even have to be an animal. It could be a butterfly. It could be a dragonfly. It could be a turtle. It's really simple to see if you have one. It's just if you're out and you see them consistently over and over again to the point where you're like, oh, it clearly is sticking in your mind whether you really know that that is happening or not. It's just, it's communication of your ancestors. For instance, I can give you a simple, like, example, dragonflies. So if you see dragonflies a lot, and they don't have to be completely next to you, but it's just frequently, every time you go somewhere, let's say you see dragonflies, that's your ancestors. That's direct ancestors. Like, my people believe that that is ancestors continuously trying to get your attention so you can pay attention. And so these are the pathways and the building blocks to, okay, well, if I see dragonflies, for instance, that's going to stick in your head to pay attention. So now when something else comes through, you're going to pay attention. And so the beauty of totem animals is it's never ended. I have a ton of totem animals. Now, the way for my story, and it is for most, to quickly explain, is when you're on your spiritual journey, you'll have your first totem animal. It will happen when you're learning. So you kind of have to stick that in your Rolodex and write that down. And most of the time you don't forget. And then once you evolve, and once you're more in the dance, as I call it, and you're paying attention, you'll see another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And your totem will just expand. And each totem has a story and a connection. But they usually come when you evolve, or there is a lesson or a protection. So it's our duty, as because we're on Earth, and we're not in the spirit plane, and we're learning how to dance back and forth to the human plane and then the spirit plane, is to pay attention when we see these totem animals or what have you. And when that happens, time of year, time of day, weather, how old you are, who's involved, what's going on, and then you have to circle back and why that happened. So, for instance, let's say you see a hawk, and this is a time where you're going through a spiritual confusion. The hawk is there to remind you to not forget. So when you ask about, when we look it up, what does the hawk mean? There is like a story of what the hawk is, but that story will be specific to each individual person who is going through their spiritual journey, because he comes to you because of what's going on in your life and your evolvement and your awakening and your third eye and crown chakra is opening. So yeah, there's beautiful. I love reading them and they're fantastic, but lots of times that will reference and be very important. But the most important thing is to remember when, why they came, and then use that and remember for when the next message comes. So it see, you know what I mean? So everybody's journey is designed for them. So you might get a person who saw a hawk, for a tragic reason, someone they lost has passed, or someone else might see a hawk because they empowered themselves and they got that job that they want. It all depends on when and how it's coming and what animal or bird or fly or bug is coming to you, because they know that these animals or bugs or turtles are someone or something that spirit knows. Like, let's say you love butterflies. So they're going to know what is going to get your attention. So they're going to be like, hi, I'm here. And then you're going to say, oh, that's interesting. That happened when my kitty died. Or, you know what I'm saying? You have to learn to put the puzzle pieces together, and it's beautiful because you work together. And that's where the equal balance is. No one's giving, 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 and no one's taking, taking, taking. You're learning to, as I say, do the dance. And once the dance is understood, then you just know when someone's leading or you're leading, and or both. And then it becomes so beautiful that it can put you in tears at times, because you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm honored and grateful that I get the chance to have this communication and to evolve and grow. And everybody gets to be that beautiful student. And then everybody does get that moment to be the teacher, regardless of what level of communication you're in. And that is ultimately the way it should be. And to be completely honored and grateful to have those moments of pure bliss.
Thank you. You make it seem so possible and make it exciting to just be open to the next time we can experience that. And I know that the dance also, that you've also magnified for me and showed me, is really part of gratitude. That really is part of the circle of giving and receiving, and it just feels so good and allows healing and forgiveness and moving forward in ways we haven't been able to. And I would love to talk about, well, frequency, but also about creativity. And for people who might feel stuck or blocked and disconnected from their possibilities, just to have a little even more practical insight of how they can connect with, I know we've been talking about how they can hear their spirit, but to find that inner pull. I believe in dreams, and I believe that we've been given dreams from higher sources. And when we have that dream, it's in our mind and in our heart, because that's how we're meant to live in our dream. And sometimes that gets kind of lost, and then we get kind of depleted, and we can be really discouraged because we're not really living in alignment with our spirit and our truth. So I know it's all been what you've been talking about, but if you could think of a few more steps, perhaps, for people to guide them and to the listening and vibration.
Sure, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, absolutely. I can make it really simple, but I'm going to hop on that dream thing. By the way, you're amazing. I love you're amazing.
it's certainly, thank you. I appreciate that so much.
Of course. So let's just pop on dreams real quick. So dreams are the easiest plane for spirits to come and talk to you. One, because when you're in dream state, you're in dream state. You're the most physically relaxed. So you're not tense. There's no way for you to be scared per se. So that is the simplest and the most natural way for them to come to you. A lot of people will get dreams before, unfortunately, someone might die, something might happen, it might be something really profound, and it doesn't always mean right then and there, mostly because it's very important. So if you have a dream that is so colorful and so powerful, you should write that down, because there's a reason. You might not get the full message, but you have to remember to use your brain like a Rolodex. You have to learn how to kind of file that in, because you may circle back and put the puzzle pieces together. Now, as for simple ways, I wouldn't say simple, ways to try to open the pathways or see or figure out how we can connect. Now that's a loaded question, but I'm going to slowly pull that apart. So, you know, a lot of people, so I'm going to give you elements that are going to be natural elements that are going to be around you to be able to connect with spirit. Or it will be easier to connect with spirit, I should say. So if it's raining, snowing, foggy, or even windy, those natural elements will give spirit a chance to come through, because they have to take energy. Excuse me. And energy is key. So instead of stealing your energy, which can certainly happen, and that, you know, if people have ever had an experience and they feel completely fired, it's because they're trying to communicate and you're the only one with the energy. So it's kind of a battle. So the simplest thing is, you want to try to meditate when it's raining, even a thunderstorm or snowing. At least they'll be able to use the natural element of wind, rain, water, or if you live near water. And it is difficult if you're not sure how to, but at least that gives you a little bit of a lift, because at least there's a little bit in your direction, because that energy is there. Now, when spirit is around, if we're not going to talk about meditation for a moment.
Are you ready to elevate your energy and awaken your dreams to their fullest potential? This isn't just music. It's transformative, intuitive healing, sacred frequencies channeled to shift your energy, dissolve blockages, and align you with your highest potential. It's your path to vibrant health, limitless dreams, and a life of purpose. Each note is harmonized to your unique frequency, unlocking profound healing, inner harmony, and a deep rejuvenating renewal. Discover the powerful tools of sound healing you carry with you. Visit KarenOlson.com/events to sign up for the free webinar titled Release Stress and Find Inner Peace Through Sound, and explore personalized one-on-one sessions at KarenOlson.com/services. The moment for peace is now. Don't wait. Embrace the healing you deserve.
Well, welcome back. Yes, we've been talking to Kate, and it's just been really inspirational. And for me, it's opened up new windows, things to think about and to be inspired by and to really tune into the messages that are waiting. I would like to share a little bit about Kate. She has so many beautiful services, and you can find them at her website. Oh, here she is. Great. BeyondEnergyCenter.com. And you can also donate there. And here she is. We were talking about meditation, and thank you.
I was talking about the natural elements of when you can use rain, snow, and all of those kind of elements are important. But to pay attention to when spirit is around in a simple standpoint, you know, I know if everyone's heard of if you get chills or if you get hot spots, you can get dizzy. Multiple things can actually occur during these connections. And then once you learn about how to communicate with them and how they can communicate, it really is as simple as kind of just really feeling okay with it and then listening. Because a lot of it is through telepathic communication. They're going to communicate through your mind first because it's energy. So energy comes quicker to our minds than you'll hear sound. So if you've ever fooled around with recording and seeing if anything's there, you will actually get an answer before you ask the question in a recording. And that's the simplest way I can describe how it will occur in your mind. So you'll get messages telepathically through spirit first before you may actually hear something from them. That might be slightly confusing, but the simplest way is if you've ever done any kind of recordings, they actually know what you're going to ask before you say it, because they're talking through your mind.
Wow. Oh, there's so many more things I want to ask about, but I just want to open it up for someone to call in if you'd like some guidance and powerful healing. If someone there's listening live, if not, we have so many beautiful things, and then we will wrap it up. And thank you. Thank you so much. I do want to ask this. There's so many things I'd love to ask, but the idea, the concept of one flow and all the different forms, all the amazing ways you just bring it in so seamlessly. And I would like to ask about the concept that's kind of personal to me that I want to work through about how you can compartmentalize different areas of your life. And it makes it kind of a little chaotic because they might not all work together. They might be kind of opposing each other sometimes. And seeing that you are so beautiful and it just, the spirit just flows in whatever direction and whatever you're doing, would you be able to offer, well, I don't mean it that way, could you please offer some insight about how to break down some of those compartmentalizing boxes?
Okay, so you're asking how to
integrate, you know, like connecting with the frequency and the messages and all the things you've been talking about, and how to know that that can be when we're cooking or when we're writing an email or when we're creating something for work or we're on the phone or we're out in the garden, wherever we are. It's one thing when we meditate and we are able to see the birds coming by us, but how about those other times? How can we bring it all together?
Right. So that is sort of the difficult part about having that relaxed mind to allow it to flow. So as we were talking, and a lot of people have multiple, they kind of want to, they want everything to happen right then and there, which of course we do. How do we integrate everything that may happen to create the communication? So the simplest thing, it's funny, the simplest thing to do, honestly, is you have to trust yourself. I know that sounds kind of ridiculous. I hope you can hear me. Mm-hmm. Is when you trust yourself and become more comfortable is when it's not as difficult as it is without having that trust. The minute we put our guard up is when things kind of don't flow as freely, especially with people, for instance, who are, you know, what I call spirit talkers. If your client is putting their guard up, you can't read them. Well, let's just take that. If you're the person that you're trying to communicate with spirits, if your guard is up in your fear and you don't feel freedom, which is difficult because, you know, of course you feel free, you know, but you have to understand your freedom of spirit connection and freedom of who you are and how to be able to unblock yourself. And when I say unblock yourself, it's allowing yourself to let everything come in. Now that sounds maybe too overwhelming or confusing, but in some way, just the acknowledgement of feeling free, meaning if something comes in your mind, to go with it. Who is it? What are you saying? What do you mean? And sometimes you only get bits and pieces. You have to kind of continue to interact and ask, okay, who is that? You might get someone's name in your head. Let's say David. Okay. And then you'll say, who's David? What are we talking about? Are we talking biblical? Are we talking about someone I know? Is there someone in this room or someone who's speaking to me? What does that mean? So it's an interaction. So one, you have to let down your guard. If something comes through, then you need to kind of go with it and say, who, what do you mean? And interact. And then it will start to evolve. You'll start to kind of have more come in, and it will kind of come a little bit it will start to come through. So I don't know if that make any sense. I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of like when you have an epiphany. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? If you feel like a deja vu has occurred, what does that mean? You know, you have to pay attention and really grab those moments that seem different. Like it's sticking in your mind, and then just really start asking questions in your mind or outside. You can ask, you know, with your mouth, and just continue to ask. And then things should start to flow, and more will start to come one by one. But it's just allowing yourself to feel like you're just talking. And now if you want to talk about trying to get into meditation and going that way to open your third eye, that's also another way to do it. But I think sometimes not having things so complicated is easier. It's going to come no matter what, whatever way you try to take it. If spirit's going to talk to you, it's going to talk to you.
Thank you so much for giving us so much to work with. And it's just exciting to now be able to listen more, and we'll hear more, and we'll have more guidance in our life, and that people can connect with you. And what a beautiful spiritual teacher you are, and all the offerings you have that they can find on your website and Instagram. And it's just so beautiful. Maybe we could continue this one day, because there's just so much, but it's already been just amazing and so beautiful. I'm so grateful, and blessings, so many blessings and love and gratitude.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Namaste.
Thank you so very much for joining us on today's transformative journey. We're honored to have shared this space with you, and we hope you're feeling inspired and aligned with your highest self. For more insights, resources, and to continue your path of healing, be sure to visit KarenOlson.com, your gateway to deeper sound healing, music, and wisdom. Remember, Sound Pathways is here every other Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on BBS Radio TV, Station 1. Until next time, stay aligned, stay inspired, and let the magic of sound guide you.